Welcome to Youth Beat Radio on WCRS Community Radio for Columbus. I'm your host, Kelsey Holder. Today on the show, our guest host, Stephanie, will be talking with a representative from Meals on Wheels, and we'll also be hearing from Upper Arlington High School students about various topics of their choice.
This is Philomena with Trendwatch. The Bachelor, America's Next Top Model, I Love Money, American Idol, Survivor, and Charm School. All different types of shows with one thing in common. They're all considered reality TV. The idea of reality TV has been around for a long time. I can remember impatiently waiting in class, my sixth grade year, just waiting to come home and watch Survivor with my family. I was in love with the show. And it was one of the only times my family and I all sat together in peace. As of today, I'm not a big fan of most reality TV shows, but it doesn't come as a shock to me that 17.5 million people watched The Bachelor on Monday. I'm sure you've at least heard one person talking about how Jason dumped Molly, then picked Melissa, then during After the Final Rose, dumped Melissa, picking Molly. What a mess. The whole thing just annoys me. But why is it that so many people are obsessed with these shows? I asked a few people why they think people are hooked on these kind of TV shows, and they believe it's because reality TV is a mindless entertainment. It's not like those other shows that actually involve thinking about what's going on. You can just sit there and watch. And the statement is probably true. After having to use your mind all day, who wouldn't want to take a little break? Also, when I asked a fellow student if they liked reality TV, they replied, "It depended on what kind of show you're talking about." And I can see why they would say that. As I said before, I'm not the biggest fan of reality TV, but I do like some shows within that category. For example, I Love Money. The way these teams rip each other apart to get that ending prize amuses me, and the ridiculous stunts they have to do is fun to watch. But shows like The Real World or The Hills make me want to poke my eyes out. I couldn't even stand watching 5 minutes of this. Also, I was looking at the first post, and on this website, they had a bunch of pros and cons dealing with reality TV. A con that caught my attention was, reality TV is often cruel, exposing the participants to gross humiliation for our amusement. And also, it exploits the vulnerable and has been condemned by Mental Health Foundation for doing so. Now, after hearing these opinions, sit back and think, what is it that attracts you to these TV shows? Most likely, it's one of the reasons above. You all have your opinion and I have mine. But I truly believe that reality TV has taken its run and is getting old. That's all for this week, guys. Listen in again on Monday.
You are listening to Youth Beat Radio on WCRS. I'm your host, Kelsey Holder. Up next, we'll join Stephanie for our feature story of the week.
All right, I'm sitting here with Teddy Castelli, and she's going to talk to us today about the program Meals on Wheels.
Okay, Meals on Wheels is a program that delivers meals to people who are elderly, homebound, or also people who can't afford it. I got involved as a sophomore in high school. To graduate from my high school, you had to do 50 hours of community service, and this was how I chose to do it. There was another girl at school who did it, and she told me I could come along on her route with her, and so I did. What we do is we go down to Life Care Alliance downtown on Mound Street, and you pick up meals in like a cooler. There's a hot pack and then a cold cooler as well. And you go into the office, you pick up your delivery sheet. You have the same route every time you go, and so you get to know all these people that you're delivering food to. So you develop a relationship with them, and you get to know them and their animals, and a lot of times their families are often there too. And you just deliver the meals, and you fill out your paperwork as you go, and then you just bring the coolers back to Life Care Alliance, and you go home. It takes anywhere from, you know, an hour to 3 hours. When I first started doing it, it took me longer, but I know my route now, and I know all the people, and so we do it pretty quickly. And I only do it the first, third, and fifth Sunday of the month, but if you want to do it every week, they certainly will let you do it every week. And so it's not a huge time commitment, but it's something that absolutely makes a difference, and it's a lot of fun to do. It's really easy, and you make a difference, and these people are happy to see you, and you just really feel like you're doing something in your community.
Okay, now you said you worked on the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month.
Yes.
Are deliveries only on Sundays, or how do they get food to other people every other day of the week?
There are deliveries 7 days a week. There is, I believe, only one delivery per day, and that's why oftentimes you'll be taking people two meals, or sometimes they're able to make themselves a sandwich, but they aren't able to actually stand long enough at a stove to cook, or they also don't have the money to do it. So that's why we take them the hot meals. So that's their hot cooked meal of the day, but oftentimes you do take them more than one meal.
Okay, so what like comes with a hot meal? Kind of just give me a basic idea of what type of food they're delivering.
With the hot meals, it is like a black tray, and it's kind of compartmentalized. There's different compartments in it, and there's a meat of sorts, and there's usually a vegetable, and then maybe a starch like potatoes or corn or something else, and then they get a little bag with bread and butter usually, or sometimes it'll be, you know, bread with strawberry jam or a little piece of cornbread, something else on the side. And then the cold meals, they have usually like pasta salad or tuna salad with a roll, and come with a little container of fruit. And then we also deliver whole milk, skim milk, and orange juice.
Okay, very cool. So tell me a little bit about your route. Where does the Life Care Alliance deliver Meals on Wheels? All over Central Ohio, or just tell me?
This Life Care Alliance that I work out of does deliver all over Central Ohio, so all the suburbs and surrounding areas. My route started in Bexley off of Broad Street, and has kind of changed a little and has moved further and further east. So mine is more in Whitehall now, like out around 270 and Broad.
Okay.
But I've done routes in Worthington, like 161 Cleveland Avenue area. I've done them down in Grove City. I've done them like straight up downtown. I've done them out on the west side of town. So oftentimes they'll call you and ask you if you can do an extra route, like if someone else cancels. So that could be anywhere in the city. But mine mostly is on the east side of town.
Okay, so your route is assigned to you, or do you get to pick, or how do they do routes?
My route, when this girl that I did it with, when she graduated, because she was older than me, mm-hmm. I just picked up her route because I'd been doing it, and when she was busy with college stuff, I would pick up her route for her. So I really got to know the route, and that's still the route that my family and I have. And that, you know, obviously I did not pick. I kind of fell into that. But when I'll call sometimes and I'll say, hey, I'm in town, give me a route. They'll say, well, we have one in Worthington, we have one in Bexley, we have one downtown. Which one do you want?
Okay.
So sometimes you do get to pick, and sometimes, you know, there isn't really much wiggle room.
Okay, and what made you decide to continue doing Meals on Wheels once you'd completed your requirements to graduate from high school?
It's a great program, and it is so easy. Like, I cannot tell you how easy it is. And I really enjoyed the people, and I really enjoyed, you know, the face-to-face contact. And oftentimes, this is the only human contact these people have all day. And so you'll go in, and they'll say, you know, I dropped this vase, and they'll be wheelchair-bound. A lot of them are wheelchair-bound. So, you know, I dropped this vase, and I broke it, and I can't clean it up. Can you help me? And, you know, so we'll do that for them. Or one woman was having trouble, like, she cleaned out her closets and couldn't get, like, the bags of stuff out. I've taken stuff home and fixed stuff for people. We do all sorts of stuff that they need. And so that really made me want to continue just seeing how important it is to these people that someone comes. And sometimes people can't get their sweater on, or they need help just getting back to their bedroom. Or it just makes such a big difference in these people's lives. And it's so, you know, little time out of my life. I spend, you know, probably 4.5 hours a month, as I can do the route quickly now. And I only do it, or I guess my dad does it now, but 3 times a month. So, you know, why can't I take that, you know, hour and a half, you know, every other Sunday?
And do it. Well, yeah. That sounds great. So what's your favorite memory from delivering Meals on Wheels? Is there one that sticks out as particularly funny or
humorous? Oh, goodness. Like, there was a guy out in Bexley, and he had a dog, and he was just a really funny guy. He used to tell us stories about World War II, and me and this other girl, we would sit in his house, and he'd tell us stories about World War II, and he had a really cute dog named Piera, and we used to play with the dog.
Okay, so if other people want to be involved in Meals on Wheels, how would they go about becoming involved?
Oh, it's super easy. Just give a call down to Life Care Alliance, and they're always looking for drivers and volunteers. And I believe that there are other things you can do, like volunteering in the office and maybe even in the kitchen. But obviously, to be a driver and to deliver meals, you have to have a car and
a driver's license.
And a driver's license, yes. Let's keep it legal. But just call down there. And in fact, I probably have a number for them. But let me give you contacts. But it's really easy. You do have to go through like a training thing, and you know, so you know how to fill out the paperwork, and you do have to fill out, or you have to take this like test on like privacy stuff. Yeah. It's just 614-278-3141. And the guy I deal with down there is Bill Reed, and he's super nice. And Polly Tice is also super nice down there. Those are the only two people that I like know personally. But give them a call, because they love help, and they love, you know, young people, because the old people love young people. People who are energetic and just willing to help. That's what they're looking for.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Teddy.
No problem.
Hey, this is Kelsey, and you're listening to Youth Beat Radio on WCRS. Up next, we have Down on the Corner.
We're going to Mexico because we think that it's still important to help out these needy families, and we're going to be in a safer spot than we would have been in previous years in relation to this war that's going on. Yeah, I think they're all pretty confident about how they're going to keep everybody safe, that we've got guards ready for everything, and we're going to be traveling in big groups, and from what I've been told, if you're in a big group, you're really not in that much danger.
Of course, we're still going on the trip. We moved the location, the city that we're going to Tecate instead of Tijuana, because that's where the main problems are. It's where all the cartels are, so.
And do you feel safe with the people you're going with?
Yeah, I definitely feel safe with the church. I mean, it'll be, we had a meeting about safety, or we do this week, and they're taking like all precautions necessary, and we're not doing the same things that we did last year because it was in an area that we couldn't because of the wars with the cartel families.
Well, originally I was planning on going to Mexico, but due to the drug trafficking issues and stuff down there, my parents decided to go on a cruise instead where it'll be safer.
I'm not going this year. I went in October before the drug war started getting really bad. So my parents let me go, but after talking to them, they didn't really feel safe letting me go, even though we're not going to Tijuana anymore and we're going to a different part of Mexico. It's still kind of scary because they're like, on the news, I keep hearing about like all these things happening, and they're like strongly recommending that people don't go into Mexico at all. So it's just, I don't think I would feel safe being there.
Well, we were going to go to Riviera de Maya, and we actually then heard about the drug war going on, and our parents thought it would be safer if we decided to do something different. So now we're going on a cruise of the Bahamas, so we are away from all the drama.
Well, I mean, I didn't really know there was an issue when my parents told me about it. They told me to contact people at the church, and they just told us that they were handling it and everything was okay. So, you know, I just trust that they have it under their control and that everything will end up okay. It'll be fun. We're not worried about the war in Mexico, the drug war right now, so we're going to have a fun time.
Well, I have been to Mexico, and I absolutely love it. I've been to Cancun and then on the other side on Cabo. But I definitely wouldn't be going there right now because it was just declared incredibly unsafe by the U.S. government. And I don't know, I'm not exactly sure if I would take that risk. It just seems pretty, you know, pretty scary, and I actually have some friends that are going, and I don't know, they seem to think that they'll be well protected and fine there, but I'm not exactly sure. It's always scary. National security issues are always scary.
Kelsey, and this is Youth Beat Radio on WCRS. Up next, we have Miles with Closing Arguments.
Why do social networking sites get such a bad rap? Probably because they've earned it. I'm Miles for today's closing comment. Social networking services such as Facebook and MySpace are the new millennia's hottest way to waste time. What originated 12 years ago as a simple profile picture blog site called 6degrees has, in just a touch over a decade, revolutionized the way we socialize and communicate, and with surprising negative consequences. Just last year, around November, a Florida teenager committed suicide before a live webcam audience after posting messages online about killing himself. And a 13-year-old girl who killed herself last year because the only nice person in her life, her Facebook sweetheart named Joey, turned out one day to be kind of mean. But Joey doesn't actually exist. But the poor girl's neighbor, who was Joey's puppeteer, actually does exist. And somehow she managed to escape the blanket of accountability. If we're addicted to this virtual and false sense of interconnectedness, fine. But that is not a free pass to say whatsoever you think, and to do it in whatever words you choose. I have found myself reading some fairly disgusting and violent comments, statuses, messages, posts on my own Facebook account, and unfortunately, I doubt I'm the only one. You may be asking, well, why not report it? Let me answer that in two ways. First, I'll answer that with the question. Why put it on there in the first place? What possesses you to hate people and say it online, or say that you want to kill them, or to kill yourself, or to kill somebody? How in the world do you justify that? Is it because you think that you're on the internet, it's not physical, so your incendiary comments can't be traced back to you? Newsflash! Do you at all remember the events of the threat against Upper Arlington High School last year? Has this slipped your mind? Anything you say on the internet is just that. It's something you said. It can be traced back to you. It does not matter if it's anonymous, which on Facebook it's not, or you delete it, or you have a firewall, or have spyware. It's on the computer. For anyone with half a brain, a wireless laptop, and free time on their hands can find. The police and the FBI, they're online, and they're looking for this kind of stuff. As last year's incident clearly shows. Short of wiping the hard drive or sinking the computer to the depths of the river, anything you click, type, or record on the computer is stored as a signal that anybody who's trained to find it can find. So make this easy on yourself. Don't say stupid stuff online. Is that so hard for you? Can't something wait for a phone call or the school day the next day to give that girlfriend a piece of your mind or to state your views on the Holocaust? Yes! I've seen it on Facebook, and it's fairly heinous. Just don't! In our real world, you would never think to say some of the stuff that people have seen and that seems to come out so easy on Facebook. Think before you act. It's embarrassing as 15, 16, 17, and 8-year-olds were still struggling with the issue while on the internet. We're acting like pathetic little babies, like we're too cool to censor ourselves because we become this alter ego online. Fine, be as you wish online, but don't be an idiot. It's just that easy.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Youth Beat Radio. If you have any questions or comments, you can contact us through email, youthbeat@osu.edu. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Kelsey Holder. Have a great week, everyone. Youth Beat Radio is produced by students of The Ohio State University and Upper Arlington High School. Dr. Christy Lakey's executive producer. It is supported by the Department of Human and Community Resource Development at The Ohio State University, Ohio State University Extension, broadcasting classes at Upper Arlington High School, and Simply Living. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the station or the sponsors.